Hello and welcome to the Hermetic Science Magic Mind podcast. I'm your host, Tanya Scott, and we're just reading Franz Barden's Initiation into Hermetics, the first in three books on course training of the mind-body-spirit purification and disciplining and training to be prepared for spiritual work. So if you're interested, it's good stuff. So thank you for being here. Right now we are still on theory, and today's is the soul or astral body. Through the finer vibrations of the elements, through the polarity of the electric and magnetic fluids, the actual human being, the soul, has come forth out of the Akasha principle, or the final vibrations of the ether. The functions of the elements in the physical body can take place in the same manner as the functions of the soul or astral body. The soul is connected to the body through the tetrapolar magnet with its specific attributes. Their unification will take place analogous to the body through electromagnetic influence of the elements. The initiates call the working of the elements the so-called electromagnetic fluid of the soul, the astral matrix, or life. The astral matrix, or the electromagnetic fluid of the soul, is not identical with the aura of the occultist. I will deal later with the subject of the aura. The astral matrix, or the electromagnetic fluid, is a bonding agent between body and soul. The fiery principle causes that which is constructive, even in the soul. The watery principle, that is, which is vitalizing. The airy principle, that which is equilibrium. And the earthy principle, that which is put together, developing and preserving. The astral body is subject to exactly the same functions as the physical body. Human beings are endowed with five senses which correspond to the five elements. The astral body, or the soul, with the help of the corporeal senses, avails herself of the five senses and apprehends the perceptions of the physical world. This apprehension and actuation of the five senses by means of the astral and material bodies occur through our immortal spirit. The reason why the spirit is immortal will be explained later. The astral body would be without life and would dissolve into its components without the spirit's activity in the soul. The spirit could not accomplish his effects without the mediation of the soul. For this reason, astral body is the seat of all the attributes that the immortal spirit possesses in accordance with his development and maturity. The spirit has a different kind of electric and magnetic fluid vibrations, which the soul shows outwardly in the four temperaments. We differentiate in accordance with the predominant elements: the choleric, sanguine, melancholic, and phlegmatic, the temperaments. Therefore, the choleric temperament originates from the fire element, the sanguine temperament originates from the air element, and the melancholic temperament originates from the water element, and the phlegmatic temperament originates from the earth element. In accordance with the strength and vibration of the respective element, you will also notice in the various attributes the strength, energy, and expansion of the respective fluid deviations. Each of these four elements, which determine the temperament of a human being, has in its active form goodness and good attributes, whereas in its passive form it embodies the opposite, the evil attributes. It would be too voluminous to give an itemized statement here of the effectiveness of the elements. It would be much more advantageous for the aspiring initiate to discover additional effects through his own meditation, because this serves a particular purpose on the path to initiation. Basically, when you try to figure out the different elements and how, where they come from and how they show up in yourself and around you and where they come from which element, and is it the negative or positive force of that element, it just means that you understand it that much better. And so, which is important for the initiation of wisdom and understanding. Nevertheless, here are a few examples. The choleric temperament has in its active polarity the following good attributes: activity, enthusiasm, eagerness, determination, bravery, courage, creative energy, assiduity, etc. Now remember, the choleric is fire. That's a fire temperament. Fire element based temperament. The choleric temperament has in its negative form, because remember, both have positive and negative. The choleric temperament has in its negative form from the following bad attributes: veracity, jealousy, passion, irritability, quarrelsomeness, immoderation, destructive urges, etc. The sanguine, which is the air element. The sanguine temperament has in its active polarity the following good attributes: penetrating power, diligence, joy, adroitness, kind-heartedness, lucidity, absence of worry, cheerfulness, lightness, optimism, liveliness, independence, watchfulness, trustfulness, etc. The sanguine temperament of the air element has in its negative form the following bad attributes: being easily offended, disdain, a passion for gossip, lack of endurance, cunning, talkativeness, dishonesty, fickleness, etc. The melancholic temperament, which is of the water element, has in its active polarity the following good attributes: respect, modesty, mercy, humility, seriousness, compliance, fervor, intimacy, power of comprehension, meditation, compassion, tranquility, internalization, immersion, overtrustfulness, forgiveness, tenderness, etc. Tenderheartedness. I'll add that one. The melancholic temperament of the water element has in its negative form the following bad attributes: indifference, downheartedness, shyness, disinterest, unyieldingness, idleness, etc. The phlegmatic temperament has in its active polarity the following good attributes: respect, reputation, endurance, circumspection, determination, seriousness, firmness, conscientiousness, thoroughness, concentration, sobriety, punctuality, reserve, pertinence, unerringness, a sense of responsibility, reliability, caution, ability to resist, purpose, etc. The phlegmatic temperament, which is the earth element, has in its negative form the following bad attributes: shallowness, carelessness, disdain, irritability, indifference, bashfulness, tardiness, ponderousness, idleness, unreliability, taciturnity, etc. The characteristics of the temperaments form the basis of a person's character, depending upon which attributes is the predominant one. The intensity of the particular attributes that show themselves outwardly depend upon the polarity, the electric and magnetic fluids. The complete influence of the effect of the temperaments has an emanation as a consequence. This is properly called the aura. Therefore, the aura cannot be compared to the astral matrix, because between the two exists a considerable difference. The astral matrix is the connecting or bonding substance between body and soul, whereas the aura is the emanation of the effectiveness of the elements in the various attributes. It is, and it has, its foundation either in the active or passive form. The emanation calls forth a particular vibration in the entire soul, which corresponds to a particular color. On the basis of this color, the initiate can clearly see his own aura or that of other beings with his astral eyes. Those who can see with their astral eyes can not only determine the basic character of a human being with the help of the aura, but can also perceive the effectiveness in respect to the polarity of the soul's vibration, and may be able to influence the soul vibration, which is basically the healing arts, like the spiritual healing arts. This subject will be discussed in more detail in another chapter dealing with introspection. Therefore, the temperament of a person influences his character in both together form and their effectiveness, and as a total result, the emanation of the soul or the aura. Pictures of high initiates and saints are always depicted with the halo, which is identical to the aura we have just described. Besides the character, temperaments and activities of the electromagnetic fluid, the astral body has two more centers in the brain, namely the seat of the normal consciousness, which is located in the cerebrum, and the subconscious, the opposite of normal consciousness, which is located in the cerebellum. In the chapter entitled Spirit, you will find more details in regards to their functions. As aforementioned, the soul is organized in exactly the same manner as the body in accordance with the elements. The psychic or astral functions, energies, and attributes have their respective seats in the soul by the way of particular centers, which Hindu philosophy depicts as lotuses, analogous to all the elements. In Hindu teachings, the awakening of these lotuses is called Kundalini Yoga. I am totally doing a yoga podcast one day. I love yoga, and Kundalini Yoga is fascinating. You guys would love that too. Anyway, I will not enter into any further discussion in regards to these lotuses or centers, chakras basically. That's what he's talking about here, the lotuses, analogous to the elements. He's talking about chakras, the chakra system at the moment. I will not enter into any further discussion in regards to these lotuses or centers. This knowledge can be gained from literature relevant to the subject. I will merely touch on this subject in passing and say that the lowest center is a Muladhara, or earth center, which is the root chakra, which has its seat in the lowest part of the soul, and which has it, and then the next center is that of the water, which the Indians call Svadhisthana, and which has its seat in the area of the sexual organs. That is called the sacral chakra. I think that's the sacral chakra. I always get this sacral and the power center chakra mixed up and I forgot one of the names. But all right, so so the water is the Svadhisthana, which is right there in the belly, which makes sense, it's the water area, which has its seat in the area of the sexual organs. The fire center, which is your power center, that's your power chakra, which is the center of the soul. It's located in the area of the navel, and it's called the Manipura, or I'll do a podcast on chakras, or I'll do an episode or two once we're through this a little bit, because it's, the chakras are fascinating as well. Good stuff. All right, so then the located in area of navel. Okay, so yeah, so the fire center, which is the center of the soul, is located in the area of the navel and is called the Manipura. The air, the center of air, the equilibrating element, is located in the area of the heart and is called the Anahata, which is your heart chakra. The center of the ether, or the Akasha, can be found in the area of the neck, which is where your, you know, the air comes in and out. It's the throat chakra. And it's called the Visuddha. Another center, the center of the will, reason, and intellect, is located between the eyebrows, and it's called the Ajna. And it's the third eye chakra. That's the the chakra, but yeah, it's the third eye area. And the highest and most divine center is a thousand-petaled lotus called Sahasrara, which from which all the energies of the other centers originate and are influenced, beginning with the uppermost and highest center, the Susumna, or Akashic principle, which is already well known to us. Okay, so let's go back. The highest and most divine center is a thousand-petaled lotus called Sahasrara, from which all the energies of the other centers originate and are influenced. See, that's your crown chakra right there, the top of your head. Beginning with the uppermost, or actually right above, it's on top of your head, but right above it as well. Beginning with the uppermost or highest center, the Susumna, or Kasha principle, which is already well known to us, takes its course along the back as if flowing through a canal. This is like that Kundalini rising energy. And down to the lowest earth center. It is responsible for the connection and the regulation between all the centers. In another chapter, I will explain the awakening of the serpent power in the individual centers. When describing the soul, it is our object to establish and give a clear picture of the connection of the elements with their plus and minus polarities in the soul. It becomes obvious that both body and soul are all their effects, and all their effects live and work so that their preservation and destruction are subject to the immutable laws of the tetrapolar magnet, the mystery of the tetragrammaton, and conform to them. When the person who is to be initiated meditates attentively on this matter, he will clearly understand the function of the body and the soul, and will certain the proper idea about their interaction in accordance with primordial laws. All right, so that is it for today's reading. Thank you so much for joining me today for another, just a little section of reading on the Hermetic Sciences, Introduction into Hermetics by Franz Bardon, the magician / alchemist / naturopath / hermetic science researcher. So, yes, thank you so much. My name is Tanya Scott again, and I look forward to seeing you again or reading to you again on the next podcast. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.